Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Making Seamless Sales Show, coming to you live from Mars, Pennsylvania. This is episode 8 of the Making Seamless Sales Show with special guest Jerry Timmis, who is the account manager in the Smith's Industry story in my Making Seamless Sales book, which is obviously the same name as the show. And that's why I called it that. And for those of you that can see the live stream or watching any of the video replays, this is the book, and we'll be talking with Jerry in a little bit about the Smith's Industry story, which is really a foundational part of the whole book. My name is Art Fromm. I'm the founder and president of Team Sales Development, and I'm sharing ideas based on 10 years of sales and pre-sales roles, and then 25 years, I can't even believe it, of sales enablement career. I've curated the interconnected concepts from my whole portfolio of offerings, the consultative selling portfolio that I have, and offer that up in the book and on this show. So this is really to help you in your role, whether you're in pre-sales sales, whether you're in B2B sales, or even if it comes down to persuasion and influence, everybody should have something that you can gain out of this. Before we get into tonight's show and our special guest, I want to thank Chris Smith from Impeller CRM, who was on the show last week, episode 7. He talked about making sure that your CRM system doesn't suck. And his book is right up here on my shelf. We talked about that. Chris covered different ways that the CRM or customer relation management system, if not everybody's familiar with that, how that could go bad and sometimes get in the way of sales doing their job. He talked about the implications of that when it comes to the quality of the information and even the pipeline accuracy and other things like that. And then he went over his system for diagnosing the issues and some of the solutions that he provides, including recommendations about proper training, proper processes and methods, and then tools that support sales, not create work. And that is so important because this is why oftentimes CRM systems are not loved by salespeople. And in fact, they should be something that's a help and helps them sell. So one of the things that we discovered that we talked about was a cornerstone of my portfolio, which is the sales opportunity snapshot methodology. And that is something that allows sales to sell. It is supported in software in Salesforce and in D Dynamics 365 as an app. And it has been proven to increase win rate in one case by 16 points and generated 22% higher revenue within 2 years for a key client. And here's the thing about this is that I'm so blessed that that methodology has helped this client now for 20 years running. And so I still have that client and I'm doing workshops for them even this year, and there's a few more to come. So you may want to tune in to episode 2 if that's of interest to you as far as the methodology, because the author of the methodology and my longtime partner and friend Steve Bistritz is on episode 2 of the Making Seamless Sales show. One last thing about Chris, if you didn't catch the show, he did offer his book, CRM Shouldn't Suck, for free. And so tune in to the show last week, which was on September 18th, to find out more about how you can get your free copy. Now, in today's show, which we'll dive into in depth after the first commercial break, in today's episode, Jerry and I will discuss what happens when you're late to an enterprise class deal, the $23 billion potential client already has bids in hand, and even it seems had selected a solution. And Jerry got just one shot to get in and try and win the deal. So, as I mentioned, it is a key story in my book. When I started writing my book, this was one of the stories that I knew I needed to include because it's very foundational to the idea of seamless sales, how the pre-sales and sales can work together better. And it's something I've told that story, I don't know, maybe 100 times in workshops that I've delivered over the past 25 years or so. And just to give you a little preview, in Jerry's own words from the back of the book, Jerry said, "The Smiths industry story in the book for which I was the sales rep was an engagement that would be hugely formative, resulting in a green account manager becoming a seasoned sales executive with Oracle and Salesforce." So we'll hear more from Jerry about that. Now, a couple of other things, and then I'm going to do a little bit more intro. So speaking of the book, I'm very happy to say that yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of the book, and that's why I wanted Jerry on the show tonight, is because it was so foundational to the book. And when Jerry and I first talked, gosh, it was about 3 years ago, I guess, when I was writing the book, we, talked about the experience and got his permission to put it in there and everything else. So you can read all the details and all the relevant ancillary stories and information in the book by picking up a copy at any of your favorite hard copy or e-copy book outlets. This also was a pretty big week. Just a couple of other quick things. My birthday was on Sunday, and then that was followed by a wonderful birthday present on Monday when I was in New York City and was on the NASDAQ billboard. So that was quite an experience being down at Times Square and seeing that. And if you're interested in that, and oh, by the way, last week I was on the Pre-Sales Collective podcast with Jack Cochran and Matthew James, and that was just released today, this morning, so you could check that out. So for all these details and to access more resources, go to teamsalesdevelopment.com and then take a look at the events and articles page, because that's where I provide all these resources. You can access all the episodes of the show and also all of the other articles and things that can help you out. So just a little bit more background on the Smiths story, because when we come back from the break, I want to dig right into it with Jerry. When I met Jerry, who, as the quote says, was a young green sales rep at the time in early 2000, I was running the Mid-Central region at Parametric Technology for the pre-sales organization. So we were responsible for the demos and the benchmarks and the proofs of concept and all those types of things. And we were doing enterprise information management sales, big, complicated enterprise deals. Now, some of you may not know this, but Parametric Technology actually invented MEDDIC, which is a qualification methodology. They had invented that several years earlier. And for those of you that don't know, MEDDIC stands for Metrics, Economic Buyer, Decision Criteria, Identifying Pain, and Identifying a Champion. And the significance of that is because since PTC had invented this, they did it because it was to help sales. So when typically a salesperson like Jerry would approach me and ask me for a resource to do a demo or whatever, I had the luxury and the authority, frankly, of asking that salesperson in a win-win approach to tell me about what they had learned regarding the opportunity. And typically, MEDDIC would be the format. In fact, this is in the days when we were in person, and quite a few times a salesperson would walk into my office and say, "Hey, Art, I need a pre-sales resource to help me out." And I'd say, "Yeah, come on in and shut the door." And on the back of the door, I would have MEDDIC right there, all five of the pieces of, what is that? And by the way, some of you know it today as MEDPIC, and there's a variety of variations that have added other things to it. So whenever somebody would come to ask for a resource, I could qualify it a little bit in terms of and learn what that salesperson knew so that I can know what type of resources to line up and provide the appropriate resources accordingly. The more that I knew, the better I could respond, and the more the salesperson knew, the better we could respond to the client. So, and with an enterprise style deal, if any of you have been involved with big enterprise like information management or supply chain or other things like that, it can get very, very complicated. And the number of different things we could show is almost limitless. I would typically say, and even Jerry and I will talk about this, but one of the things that I would come back with is if I didn't know enough or if I was asked to do a demo, I'd say, "All right, well, give me 3 days to show what we need to show, and maybe something will resonate." The classic show up and throw up harbor tour. However, if the opportunity was well qualified, if the information had been discovered, there was plenty we could go on. Knowing what the client's business issues were, knowing who was involved and who we were trying to persuade, understanding about the decision process helped us make sure we got the right people involved. And then we can understand the time frame that they were looking for. So all of those things were really good pieces of information to help us together as a sales team be able to construct the right demo that would hit on the right marks. And in fact, what my team often did was we would then divide and conquer with the salesperson to dive deeper and do more discovery. We did what in on my team we called, and we sort of coined this and developed this approach, was a process audit, where we would go in and learn about the client's environment, a real deep dive on what they were doing. Frankly, it was so detailed, we probably could have charged for it because a lot of the times the clients would say, "Oh, that's amazing. Wow, that's amazing what you found out." And one thing for everybody in sales as a side note is this, I think, is one of the very interesting things that we as sales teams get the opportunity to do is see various things in the client organization that they often can't even see themselves because they're in these silos. So we would do these process audits. We would come back and present our findings. And very often the client was super happy about it. We'd give them the information and they could use it internally. We'd confirm the information. And then what we would do is schedule a demo to show specifically the things that they were interested in doing. We would map it to their requirements. And we won a ton of business using that approach. So just as we get ready to approach the commercial break here, setting up our conversation with Jerry, around early 2000, I got a call from Jerry saying that he had an opportunity to do a demo at Smith Industries. And he said, and this is probably some of you will recognize this, "We got one shot at this. It's going to be a big deal. Art, I know you could do this. Bring your A game, bring your team." And he told me a little bit about it that we'll go into is that he got in late. They had already received some bids and they had potentially even selected a competitor. So they wanted a demo. Now the question is what demo to do? So my team and I, and Brad Ferguson was key to that, and Don Kemick was key to that back in the day. They were on the team. We had a discussion with Jerry to find out what he learned and to determine how to proceed. And so with that, we'll go to the commercial break. And when we come back, we will talk with Jerry about what that experience was like, the lessons that came out of it, and how you can avoid rushing to a demo and instead turn that around into a potential win. So we'll go ahead and go to the commercial break now. We'll see you back in a few minutes.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a purpose-driven individual looking for deeper healing, clarity, and growth? Welcome to the Expansion Room, a transformative space for purpose-driven individuals. I'm Siobhan Larice, host, licensed therapist, and coach. Join me every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Welcome back. And joining me is Jerry Timmis. Hello, Jerry.
Art, it's so good to be with you.
Likewise. It's really great that we can share some of the insights, and I'm looking forward to the things that you learned as a part of this, and I certainly learned as a part of this. Let me just set the stage real quick by introducing Jerry. Started his career in organizational change management, and then he had a software career in 1997. Then he worked for two early stage startups, as well as three world leading software firms, including Parametric Technology, where we met, Oracle, and Salesforce. His leadership roles include global account manager for General Motors, regional director of Great Lakes Enterprise Accounts region at Oracle, responsible for $250 million in software sales at GM alone, VP of sales for FinServe Midwest and East and West Canada Enterprise Banking. And then between Oracle, Salesforce, Jerry opened up Central US for single store by gaining mainstream Fortune 500 brands that brought real-time analytic data to key brands like Kellogg's, and opened the energy vertical market with wins at Devon Energy and Consumers Energy. Very, very busy, long career. In 2019, Jerry pivoted into the nonprofit world as VP of Stewardship, reporting to the president of Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia, where he leads a large team responsible for fundraising, media, marketing, communications. An initiative called One Westminster, where the seminary is achieving a 360-degree view of their constituency, have implemented Salesforce. So there's Salesforce appearing back in what Jerry is doing now as a user. Jerry also serves on two boards, including Cloud9 Perception, an early-stage warehouse automation software company, where he serves on the sales committee. So welcome again. That's a lot that's gone on since we initially got engaged, you know, in that Smith's deal 25 years ago. And I can't even believe it's been that long. It just seems like yesterday.
You know, it's dizzying to hear it. Throw in there six kids and nine grandkids and number 10 and 11 on the way. And it's like, how does that happen? And, you know, the answer is one day at a time over nearly 30 years. You know, it's just, it's the way it works, man.
Yeah, exactly. So I did a little preview, as you heard, you know, of sort of what I was doing and then how we initially got involved with the Smith story. Yeah. Tell us a little bit more about, you know, where you're at and what it is that, you know, got you engaged with the Smith's opportunity to begin with, and we'll take it from there.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. I got a shot at PTC, where, you know, in some ways, as you remember, Art, PTC was on fire as a software company. And in some senses, you know, I wasn't qualified, you know, to even join. They're, you know, just from my history, being new to the space, you know, being the hot hand, you know, anybody who was anybody, you know, was working there. And so I was truly green, and was given an opportunity to work there. And so why that's important is because it was very fast paced. It was a place, you know, Medic was developed to help quickly qualify and win. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't just the winning, but it was the qualifying, so that we could, you know, fish or cut bait, as it were, and really steward our time well as a sales organization. You know, there was a lot of turnover at that company at that time, and so, you know, there was pressure for the whole team, including the sales engineers, and for my management. And so, you know, Smith's happened as a result of a cold call. You know, it was right around the corner from where our office was. Here they are, a global aerospace engineering firm. This opportunity was both a combination of product development, you know, so the discrete elements of machinery. And so, just for the listeners, Smiths is everything from, excuse me, cockpit avionics to.
Jerry is so gracious because he's coming off of a huge important trip to a foreign country and then got a cold and everything else, and he's been fighting through it. So no worries. Take your time.
Thanks, I appreciate it. I'm doing pretty well. So cockpit avionics to scanners in airports. If you go through and you put your luggage in, as you're just checking in, a lot of those are Smith scanners, right? So it's the discrete product and all the software that manages it. To your point earlier, very complicated. And so product life cycle management at the time was pretty new. And there was a few players, and we clearly hadn't made the cut. That call nudged us in, and so the pressure, was very real, because in some part, to come in and show them, because that's the table that was set for us, right? Okay, come on in. Now the question is, what do you do with that? And how do you work with people, customers who are feeling their own pressure to meet deadlines? They're reporting, they're accountable, to, in this case, Rick, if you remember the guy leading that initiative, to Bob Mills, who would be the game changer, amazingly. That's just a
We'll
great
get
part of the story that you'll
to
help tell. But so being able to take what you're given and then bend it to the benefit of both you and the customer in the right way, that's where the real story is, right?
Well, and backing up just a little bit, they had already, it wasn't like they were starting on their journey, like they had already seen the competitors. They had already gone through the RFP process, so to speak.
Had already
And
developed the relationships with those vendors.
yeah, so when you got us in there, it was very late to the game. Like it was a long shot. And
For sure.
therefore, there was all that much more pressure on you as a new sales rep and everything else. So when you came to me and asked me to do a demo, we got a one shot at this, all that classic stuff. What prompted you to do that in terms of this give and take that you were starting to mention regarding us getting a spot at this very, very late stage at the table?
What prompted me to reach out to you was I had to reach out to you to get the resources. We really didn't know each other at that point, and I was working with one of your key guys, on this, and certainly my management was supportive of this. It was a bit of a Hail Mary, right? So that's it.
How about for the client though? Because they didn't just say, oh, okay, well, give us an RFP or something like that. There was a little give and take there, right? As far as what allowed you to then get us in. Because my pushback was, yeah, Jerry, we'd love to be able to give them a demo. But as I said, give us 3 days. So you and I started to talk about what
So,
should we do to make sure it's best for you and best for them?
yeah, a very so of so much of this is just reason being reasonable. It's logic, some persuasion, but help us to do a little bit enough discovery so that we can make sure that what we're speaking to is what's most important to you. And what you're solving for. And so that was really our key entree before the demo. And so those conversations were transformative on so many levels. I'd even love for you to kind of tee up that meeting where we're having that 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 meeting with the Smiths people and our team. And it was, if you recall, in that conference room, there was a lot of glass, and all of a sudden information, which is what you're really hoping for as a vendor, information is starting to come out and and fill the walls, with on paper. And so the CIO, Bob Mills, who we hadn't met, is walking by, comes in. He all of a sudden, he asks what we're doing. We're introduced. He invites himself in, he sits down, and he starts to thin slice things and help narrow and draw conclusions. So, do you remember what it was that he said and he did, kind of how he brought us to a point of crystal focus?
I mean, he literally, as I recall, took the whiteboard marker and was like, this part right here is really important, and this isn't quite so important, and things like that. And again, backing up, and we're about to come to a break here, backing up just a little bit, that would not have happened. Like, we just imagine if we had been doing the show up and throw up harbor tour demo because that's what they wanted. And if, you and I didn't talk it through, that might have been what we resorted to because that's what they might have insisted on. But because you and I had the discussion and I said, look, this will help you to help them. And then you took it to them and said, this will help them to get what they want. And then now we can all laser focus on what's needed. Instead of Robert Mills coming in and joining us, I think he could have walked by that conference room and saw a bunch of his people in there and, kept walking, which we would have never met him. And as we'll talk about after the break here, he was key to the whole opportunity. Like, that was your main contact moving forward. Or I think another one, maybe this is a little bit exaggerated, but he could have walked by and seen, a bunch of his team members in there trying to figure out what the heck they were seeing when we're showing this complicated demo of all this stuff, and they're so totally lost. And he look and he go, what are you all doing here? Looks like you're wasting your time,
Art, if there's a headline in all of this process, well, let me give a punchline. I mean, before we go to the break, Smith's 25 years later is still a Parametric Technology, now PTC, customer.
Did not know
Okay.
that.
But so that's kind of a punchline. The headline was the whole arc of where we ended up had to go through this little doorway called Art Fromm saying, hey, listen, let's just slow down for a minute. Think about what we're solving for and how we can best help them, thinking about them, deliver on their objectives and put us in the best possible light.
Awesome. Excellent. Well, when we come back from the break, we'll talk more about the dangers of the dash to demo and the turning point, and then also get some advice from Jerry in terms of what he learned and then moving forward for new sales reps or experienced sales reps that want to sharpen the tool. So let's go ahead and we'll take the break and we'll be back in a couple minutes and continue our discussion with Jerry.
Misalignment within your sales team or with a client stalls deals and creates unnecessary friction for you and the client, resulting in up to 37% lower win rate. If you're in pre-sales, sales, sales management, or sales enablement, and you'd like to increase revenues, win rate, margins, client satisfaction, and stay competitive, this show is for you. Hi, I'm Art Fromm, host of the Making Seamless Sales Show. Please join me live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
Hey everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
And welcome back, everybody. We're continuing our discussion with Jerry Timmis, who is the sales rep that we worked together for the Smiths opportunity that was 25 years ago. And the key point being is that we did slow down. We did ask and convince them, more or less sold them on the need for us to do demo. And I initially sold Jerry on the need to do that. And together we wound up with a phenomenal situation. So what do you think in terms of those initial discovery conversations with Smiths? How did that shift the dynamic? I mean, obviously you wound up winning the deal and getting the run rate business out of it. What else was going on there as far as shifting that dynamic?
Yeah, you know, that deal ended up being, it took time to win that deal. I mean, the whole deal slowed down. And so that was, you know, it didn't happen then. You know, I think the scale of it, you know, increased, you know, the total, you know, sales over 25 years. I don't even know what it must be at this point, but it's massive. Really getting in to understand the business is so fundamental and so difficult, but it required the ability to connect, I believe, at the sales engineering level with their technical buyers. You know, at a very technical firm, that was that turned out to be hugely important. So, you know, in as much as you can say that the sales team, you know, kind of through the rigor of our execution and doggedly getting in and convincing us to come, you know, to give us a shot, was a really important you know, inflection point. There's no question that what really won this deal was the caliber of the sales engineering team. And you know, frankly, you know, my willingness to be led by my sales engineer, and you know, and his you know, just to recognize his acumen and to let and let him and his boss, which in that case was you, you know, come in and help lead that part of the process, which in so many cases in technical sales, there's nobody in the sales world that would say, oh no, I mean, for sure, that's, you know, that's a given, but it's not a given. Mm-hmm. It is transformative in the relationship of you know, between two firms that are accomplishing something greater together. You're dealing with the lives of people, their livelihoods, their well-being. And so the ability to build trust is what's central to credibility. Mm-hmm. And that credibility is central to, you know, being the cause that, you know, that people give to. You know, there's that old phrase, people give to people or companies give to other companies, justified by the cause or the reason. Well, that cause piece, the reason being established, you know, in our world of technical sales, that's through the sales engineering and, you know, a kind of a combination of that and the business development organization working together. And over the years, we, you know, there's more sophisticated, business development teams that work with sales engineering, you know, to just develop, you know, plausible, crisp cases that, to your point, you know, people could pay for on their own, you know, to use. Since that time and with this approach, you know, I've had multiple people, you know, come to me or to us in our organizations, you know, in sidebars, in moments of, okay, I think of three right now. Is this a good deal? Tell me if I should do this deal. The smallest of those deals was $9 million. Another was 26. Another was 32. In the case of the $32 million deal, the chief strategy officer of GM said, as we're looking at, you know, at the premises of the deal, he said, you know our business better than we do. And so, you know, we want to share those assets to help them succeed. It's how we grow and achieve our objectives. But so much comes to the credibility of that sales engineering team to get there. And that portfolio, by the way, Art, you know, and that would have been in Oracle at that point, of information where that chief strategy officer said that came from the work of a guy by the name of Dale Deloy, the lead database sales engineer for GM, right?
Well, I think it is the partnership. So it's like a divide and conquer, but it's not separate. And there are separate roles. You know, the sales is a separate role from sales engineering. And I don't want to go onto this tangent, but at one point I got the opportunity to add the sales role, and that was not good. I thought it was going to be great, but the customer, frankly, didn't trust me as much because they're like, oh, you have a quota now, you know? So there's a need for both. And it's that working together, which is what the big, you know, my big theme and my big mission is really about helping that. And that's what you allowed to support. I mean, you were new at the time and you must have, again, seeing all the things going on at PTC and now this all of a sudden comes on your lap. It would have been easy for you just to get a demo. And maybe in your mind, you're like, yeah, that is the right thing to do. So what advice would you give to sales teams in terms of, you know, the avoiding the show up and throw up type demo? And one thing I will say is that good sales engineers will be able to pull that off. It's just not going to be as effective as you said. And that's almost dangerous because it starts to lead to, oh, all I got to do is tee it up and give it to them. But I believe we leave money on the table if we don't do that. So what's your advice to, you know, for sales teams who want to kind of rush to the demo and do the show up and throw up harbor tour type thing?
Yeah, and this was such a difficult situation to navigate. But you've got to be able to communicate with your leadership on what the long game is.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to be able to speak your mind on what the risk of doing this is, mm-hmm. Going in and just showing a demo. You know, there's for a young rep who's got seasoned leadership, that seasoned leadership is going to tell that young rep, he who mentions money first and negotiating a deal loses, you know. So as time's gone on, kind of in the same way with respect to a demo, and certainly as I moved in over the course of my career, into leadership, I'm qualifying all the time. You know, what does the customer say? So much of a sales leader's task is to deconstruct assumption and backfill it with customer verifiable data. And
Say
so,
that again. That's key. That turns everything on its head right there.
so much of a sales leader's focus is should be deconstructing assumption and backfilling it with customer verified data.
Yeah, because in sales, we're all optimistic. Oh, yeah, this is going to close and we want to chase after everything. You know, it's hard to just let something go, especially as a new sales rep. Or, you know, if you are feeling pressure in your company to just make a sale, okay, I'm going to line it up, do a demo. Okay, if it doesn't work, I'll do the next one. And that just leads to busy work. The buyer verifiable outcomes force us to focus on the buyer and what they're trying to do. It's all about the end in mind. And as you said, you know, that initial demo was just the starting point, but it was the relationship that got built at both the technical and the business level and great communication among the team that Smiths benefited from because now they see it a different way than they thought.
What
And it's going to move forward in their
100%?
best interest.
Art, think about it. That one meeting, that one discovery meeting was the total game changer. You know, we all of a sudden we're working with all of this rich customer verified data. Not just that, I could go back and tell my VP, the CIO of Smiths in that meeting said that this, and this were the top priorities, which are a little bit in contradistinction with, you know, the guy that he has running it. He was saying this, but in front of all of us, he reset the priority, you know, stack, you know, by saying, no, it's this, and you know, this right here. So that's the holy grail of succeeding is what's important to them. And so, you know, any young rep, you know, needs to be dogged about that, you know, about that opportunity. How you get that information, you know, that's tricky. That's a whole nother podcast, you know. But no, knowing what you're pursuing, and you know, it's interesting. What you're so Medic, back to your point, you know, what's so amazing about a rubric like Medic, or anything like that, is that it's a set of questions that everybody, whether it's a sales engineer or a sales rep or a sales manager, anybody who's touching an account is constantly asking those questions. And right, it's and filling in that rubric.
And again, we can discuss this more at another time. Any information we gain, even in the process of qualification, is important information. And a lot of what we did to generate that buy-in to do discovery instead of a demo came from that initial information. So we got to wrap up here. Tell me a little bit, you know, one quick advice for either new sales reps or sales reps that are struggling with the urge to just show a demo or just give an RFP. What's your 1 minute advice? And then we'll close it out with how to contact you and things like that.
I would say don't allow yourself to show a demo until you know what that demo is solving for.
There you go. Yeah, that's it. If we can't answer that question, then how can we possibly convey that to the client? And then buyer verifiable outcomes, not going to be possible because it's us trying to show something and hoping it sticks.
Yeah, for
Awesome.
sure.
Well, I really appreciate this. What's the best way to get a hold of you, and where we can learn more?
Well, you know, Jerry, J. Timmis at gmail.com is my private email. I'm involved at Westminster Theological Seminary, as you said, which is jtimmis@wts.edu. Also a plug for Cloud9 Perception, automated warehouse management of incoming and outgoing product. It's using AI and machine learning. It's a great new company that is reducing the time and the cost, the human cost, in many of the ways that AI is today, using ocular imaging. And so it's just it's an amazing new company. So and that would be Jerry at cloud9perception.com. So a few emails to remember, but just really appreciate, Art, the opportunity to be with you and to talk to you and recount those glory days.
Yeah, for sure. And by the way, on the show page is going to be also Jerry's LinkedIn link so that you can connect with him that way too. Well, thank you very much, Jerry. Really appreciate it. And we'll take these lessons forward and an
Thanks,
encouragement
man.
to don't rush to the demo. All right. Thank you so much.
Take care. See ya.
Yeah, thank you.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
All right, everybody, welcome back. And again, so great to hear from Jerry. I recommend, rewinding that listening again. There's a lot of nuggets there. And you can learn more on the website and certainly in the book, because we go into a lot more detail, or I went into a lot more detail about it. And then, of course, the lessons learned. So Making Seamless Sales, this is a key part of the whole book. And many of the concepts in the book spin right off of that, as far as how do you do discovery properly? And what do we learn? And what types of things do we want to know? And all those things. So in this segment, we do the Dear Artie, which is based off of the Dear Abby, advice column where people wrote in about advice for life. And this is where I answer questions regarding advice for sales. And I found some questions that have come up that are germane to our topic today in terms of the resistance to just jump in and instead do proper discovery. So one question that I got was, prospects often say, just show me something, or I've done my research, let's skip to the demo. How do you handle that without seeming unresponsive to the request? And just to set a little bit of background here, studies show now, especially with business to business sales, the complex sales, the client, the prospect, has done a lot of work on their own. They've looked at websites. They might have gone through some automated demos and things. And they may be at the point where they say, just show me exactly what I want. And you've heard me say this before, perhaps, is that, we want the customer to be right. There's an expression, the customer's always right. And I would say we want to make them right. So let's find out a little bit about what they're doing. And that's why they sometimes say, just skip right to the demo, because I just need to show, I just need to see this thing. So this is what we call, famously coined, I think, by Peter Cohan, which, by the way, he's going to be on the show next week. And I'll talk more about that in a minute. The harbor tour, a harbor tour mentality. They think they want to see everything, or they think they know what they want to see, but what they really want to see, you know, we want to make sure that they see what actually matters to them. And they can't really know that because they may have never bought this before. So one thing that I've always done, and what I would recommend for all account managers and account executives, and for that matter, sale, you know, SDRs and BDRs to do, is to just acknowledge the request. So yes, we understand that. And yes, we'd like to show you something meaningful. And that's the key word. I want to show you something meaningful. Based on what you've researched, you probably have some specific capabilities in mind. So rather than doing a generic demo, and behind the scenes, that's our show up and throw up demo, which we don't really want to do. Rather than doing a generic walkthrough that's going to potentially waste your time, I'd just like to ask you a few questions to understand what it is you want to see. Now, these discovery questions can be based on your own methodology or whatever. Three that work really nicely are, for example, what's driving this project? And again, notice these are very open-ended questions. So what we're doing is getting them to talk. What's driving this? And I didn't say who's driving it. I didn't say, you know, is there a particular department? Just what is driving this, and see what they say about it. What does success look like? And again, that could be for the person we're talking with. What do they consider success? Maybe they're doing this on behalf of somebody else. So what does success look like for them? And then who else is involved? And this is a key indicator of, at a minimum, how serious are they about this? If it's just them doing a science project and they don't have any ability to go anywhere with it, then that can flesh that out. We can find that out in advance. So those questions, while they are definitely qualifying, at the same time, we're gathering information to learn what it is we can put together. And don't be surprised, by the way, if that discussion goes on for minutes, if not an hour. The whole goal here is to drive discovery. And next week when we talk to Peter Cohan, we'll talk more about some other methods. What this winds up doing is positioning you as an expert that's done this before versus them who have only gone through it once. You have experience that can guide through, but you need to know where they're at. You need to know where they're trying to go. And so what we want to do is, we're not refusing the request. We're making it more valuable. And really, that's what Jerry did as well, right? They're like, yeah, you could get in here, but we need to see a demo. And then Jerry said that to me. And then I said to Jerry, you know what? How are we going to know what to show? Jerry said to them, we're going to save everybody time and cut to the chase by learning about what it is you're doing. And the rest is history. So the importance for sales and pre-sales working together is that this will prevent that endless demo cycle where you show features that don't matter, hoping that they stick. And that's just going to lead to more questions and more demos, and then wasting your time and ultimately losing deals to do nothing where you've just continued to show things. And I'll go back to what I said when I was talking with Jerry. Pre-sales SEs are really, really good at turning not very much into something. So as a salesperson, and again, I'm a salesperson and I have been, you know, professionally, and I do sales now, it's important for us to not just take a quick win and say, oh, good, they made something out of that. We want those buyer verifiable outcomes that Jerry was talking about. We want to make sure we know that this resonates with the client. And it isn't about a tick in the box of just getting a demo. It's about truly moving the deal forward. So this will position us as a consultative expert rather than a vendor. And that's a big difference, right? We want to be seen as a partner. We want to see it as being helpful. I'm not here to try to sell. I'm not here to try to push. What I'm doing is trying to help somebody buy, try to help them to get what they want. And if there's no fit, great, we'll part ways friends, and then that'll save time for us and save time from them. And frankly, if it's not a fit, I don't even really want to pursue that because it could drag me down into a whole series of things that I can't even deliver. So that's one thing in terms of the idea of not just responding with, oh yeah, we'll show you a demo and then we hope that it works. The other question that I want to go to is the discovery demo agreement framework. And somebody asked the question of how do you structure the conversation to get the prospects to agree to do proper discovery before jumping in? And I would even take this one step further or upstream and say, how do you get your sales rep to agree that discovery is needed so that they're not just saying, hey, I got to have you do a demo. They've got one shot at this, you know, it's going to be huge and all that. So I use the, what I recommend is the mutual value exchange. Very simply put, it's help me to help you. You as the customer might want a demo. I need to help you. Okay, so to help you, help me understand what to do. Same thing in starting with the sales rep. So if you're a sales rep, realize that your sales engineer, your pre-sales person can absolutely help you. Do you know that prospects automatically trust a sales engineer? Automatically. And they will be skeptical and not automatically inherently trust a salesperson. So why not use the sales engineer to get information, right? And that's where the agreement and the seamless sales can come into play. So this mutual value exchange would be, yeah, I understand if, you know, if I'm pre-sales acting this out, I understand as a salesperson, you want to meet quota, you're looking to make your commission and all that. I can help you with that. What I need, though, is to understand what it is that they're trying to do. What are we trying to accomplish? And not just for the demo. The demo's not just a check in the box. We want to have true client success, laser focused on the success they will get out of the engagement. So help me to help you. And then I can show something that's relevant to the client situation, relevant to you as the salesperson. And then we both learn in the process of what's going on there. Now, we also bring with us, both in sales and pre-sales, experience having worked with clients like that. So one of the things you can offer up is, yeah, I could offer you a generic demo. If I ask a few questions, I can probably pull from my experience the things that really matter to you. And now what we start to do is get them to realize, oh, Art's done this before. Perhaps there's things I haven't thought of. So we've all heard of FOMO, fear of missing out. And that's part of it is if you can help them understand you've worked with other people like them before and you're asking the questions out of genuine interest so that you know how to bring your resources to bear. Now they may be thinking, oh, wait a second. If I don't let Art ask the questions, then I might be missing out on something. And then there's the fear, the FOMU. Have you heard of FOMU? The fear of messing up. And they, what we want to do is give them a sense of, you know what, if we can help them to be accurate, then they can get a better demo. So in any event, this framework gives you the repeatable methods to take control of that in a way that has positive outcomes for your client. Very quickly, as we wrap up for today, thanks again for Jerry sharing the ideas for how to work together better as a team. Check out the Making Seamless Sales book and more details there. Look at my website, teamsalesdevelopment.com. I've actually got an article on there of selling discovery. In other words, doing this mutual discussion and this agreement. Please contact me if I can help you with your plans for sales kickoffs, seminars, or other events to improve your sales teams. I do offer keynotes and workshops and CRM integrated tools that have been proven to help sales sell. Like, share, and comment. Listen to the replay on your favorite channel or podcast streaming service. And then next week, same time, same place, my friend and partner, Peter Cohan, author of Great Demo, Doing Discovery and Suspending Disbelief, and I will talk more about the importance of pre-sales and sales working together. Thanks, everybody, for your time. Have a great weekend ahead and put it into action. Let's hear what you can find out and the way you can make it work. Thanks, everybody. Take care.
On Frank About Health, we're not just talking healthcare. We're managing disruption and innovation. Over the last 4 years, I've taken you from epilepsy and COVID to mental health, caregiving, and now the front lines of healthcare transformation. Stay tuned for a healthier future as we bring on the innovators, professionals, storytellers, and advocates who show you how to own your healthcare every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Brancu, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.